folks, Doug McBurney here. Hey, if you're like me, you can't imagine life without three things: God, guitars, and Bob Inyart Live. And while my God will always be there for me, and my guitar is paid for, keeping Bob Inyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time. September is Bob's telethon month, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to consistently book A-list interviews and promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. And with each new monthly subscription for the telethon or a donation of $50 or more, you will receive Bob's newest DVD, How to Be a Christian Family, as a free gift. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
Warning, warning, there's truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is a day. Today is D-Day minus one, right? Yesterday was the deadline to turn in our signatures for the Brady Personhood Amendment for 2014. So even though it's only September 2013, based on state law, this is the deadline. And so I've talked to the Personhood Office, and they are doing the data processing. Every petition, every page gets scanned. There are reports that the Secretary of State requires from the petitioners, from the proponents of the measures. And so all that is being done right now feverishly. But I think if you have a couple signatures left and you could hand deliver them, if you don't delay, hand deliver them immediately to the address on the bottom of the petition on Ralston Road in Arvada, I think your signatures could be included. Also, this is our telethon month. We told you that, well, we are approaching $10,000. We are so excited about that. That really is a thrill. And what I wanted to do is share with you guys, we don't do this a lot, but I want to give you an idea of what is on just two of our resources. Here at Bob Inyart Live, we present a biblical worldview. So we take God's word, the Bible, and as we study it, we get an overview of the whole Bible. That's in our book called The Plot and our CDs and DVDs based on The Plot, an overview of the whole Bible. And then we look at current events and the world, politics, morality, criminal justice, taxation. And we try to understand what's happening and figure out what is the best way for Christians to make an impact. What should we advocate for? So we do all that from a Christian worldview. To the extent that your biblical worldview is accurate, to that extent, God could bless the things that you advocate for. To the extent that your worldview is not accurate, to that extent, God cannot bless your efforts when you're trying to accomplish things that God disapproves of. He may look at you and smile and say, you know, I love this kid, I love this guy, I love this gal, but boy, they're messed up. So we want to know God as he is, and we want to understand his word. So two of the resources we have, one is called our Hermeneutics, Tools for Bible Study. It is a fascinating study because we present 15 hermeneutics, one after another. Each one is a tool for studying the Bible, and then we present a hierarchy of hermeneutics. Which hermeneutics take precedent over which other ones? Not sure what that means? Well, let's talk about that in a moment. But I want to tell you about the second resource we have. It's called Christianity 101. These are both really fun. You could get both of these on a single CD. But this Christianity 101, it is 8 lectures on the fundamentals of Christianity. And so that means it starts with the Bible itself. And then the second is on God. The third is created beings. The fourth, Old Testament. Guess what the fifth is? New Testament. The sixth is the overall plot of the Bible, the storyline of the Bible. The seventh is end times and hell. And the eighth is eternal life and heaven. And on the CD, there is a PDF included, and it includes a handout which has all the Bible verses, and many of the observations are in the handout. So you have both the audio, and then for those who prefer to read, you've got the written text also. And for example, I'll just give you an example from the beginning. The first one, the Bible itself. We look at Revelation, the doctrine of divine revelation, both general and special. You know, there's a difference, right, between general revelation and special revelation. Special revelation is verbal. General revelation is God revealing himself in the creation and in our conscience. That's all general revelation. And then we talk about inspiration, right? The meaning, what is inspiration? And the manner of inspiration, how is it that God inspired the holy men who wrote the Bible? Was it the dictation method where God just dictated to them as though they were secretaries and they just wrote? You know, that's not the norm in the scriptures. There are a few places where God said, write these words, and then he spoke. And in those places, that's the dictation method. Generally, it is the verbal plenary inspiration of the scriptures where holy men moved by the Holy Spirit wrote, and they wrote what God wanted them to write, but also this was their personality, their observations, so that they were not just robots. God works through human beings. And then this first session on the Bible itself, it looks at illumination and the doctrine of illumination and what does it mean for something to be spiritually discerned. And then finally, the canon of Scripture, the Old and New Testament, and the books that make up the Bible. And what is this whole topic of the canon? And so it is a fascinating discussion. We look at sola scriptura. We consider the identity of the New Testament text, the New Testament as it was written originally in Greek, and was it translated, and then a translation of that translation, and then a translation of that translation. You know, that's what the atheists say, and the skeptics. And that's explicitly not true. The Bibles we all read have one translation step. They were written in Greek and Hebrew, Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament in Greek, and then they were translated from those original languages to our English Bible. And this is also true of many other Bibles in other languages, so that there's one translation step. It's not like playing telephone. So that is the first lecture on this DVD or CD, MP3 CD, or you could just download the audio. And all of that is at our store at KGov. You just go to kgov.com and then click on the store and the Bible studies, or you could use the search field. Just put in Christianity 101. Probably put in 101, you'll find it. Okay, so actually I'd like to go back to that to tell you more about Christianity 101, but I mentioned our hierarchy of hermeneutics. Now, I know we have this on audio, MP3 CD, and downloadable. Do we have hermeneutics as a DVD? We'll find out if we have hermeneutics as a DVD. This is a seminar. A lot of our seminars are like 5 hours. This is brief. Okay, we don't. This is only audio. So only audio, our hermeneutics seminar, Tools for Bible Study, our hierarchy of hermeneutics. So this you need to either listen to on a CD or download it. What a hermeneutic is, it's a tool for interpreting the Bible, right? And we all have our own ways of interpreting things that we hear, whether it's the Bible or not. Whatever we read, whatever we hear, then we process it and we come to a conclusion usually on what did I just hear and what did it mean? And so we go through the tools for interpreting the Bible and we list them. And I'll give you an example of them and then we'll describe them. For example, God's existence. Really, it's the three E's. But God's existence, that's the first hermeneutic. The second is his story, the story of the Bible. The third is God's nature, the nature of God. The fourth is Christological, that the Bible is Christ-centered. The fifth is context. The sixth is literalness. The seventh is historical grammatical method. The eighth is the covenantal slash dispensational principles. The ninth is prophetic, the prophetic hermeneutic, and so on. And so what does this all mean? Well, we point out that this hermeneutic study is not only valuable for understanding the Bible. True hermeneutics are valuable for studying everything and anything. Tools for correctly understanding what you are hearing, what you are reading. So the first of these hermeneutics, the first one is God, his existence, eternity, and entity. Entity, that is, he is the Godhead. The Godhead. He's a person. And as it turns out, there's a plurality in the Godhead. There is three. Remember the show we did on Real Science Radio just a week ago? It was brought to you by the number three. God, the triune God, manifest himself in his creation with the tripartite human being, body, soul, and spirit, and so much of creation reflecting the triune nature of God. So this first is God, his existence, his eternity, and his entity, that he's a person. He's a personal being in a triune Godhead. So that's the first hermeneutic. Well, what does that mean? It means whenever you are interpreting the Bible or anything, you do it in the context of God and his existence. So if you read something in the Bible, let's say you are a secular minister. There are ministers in mainline denominations who are agnostic, right? Plenty of them. United Methodists and different branches of whatever. All these, you know, old school Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever. They're dead. Jesus said that there are weeds that grow up among the wheat and they're wolves in sheep's clothing. So they're dead, right? So they want to interpret the Bible because I don't know why they get paid, I guess, to read from it. And they open it up and let's say they have Job's wife saying to Job, curse God and die. Or let's say they see that people are denying the existence of God. So they might want to toy with that idea that, well, maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe look at all the suffering in the world. Maybe God doesn't exist. And they certainly will go that route in their thinking. And by doing that, they violate the first and the preeminent hermeneutic, which is everything occurs within the context of God's existence. So that when you're studying a verse in the Bible, don't set God aside. Don't interpret it as though there were no God. Come to a conclusion of what it means, and then add God in as an afterthought. Because believe it or not, that happens. And so the very first part of the context of the scripture is the context really is God, God's existence. Well, what's the second hermeneutic? The second one is his story. Now, it's sort of cute. If you put that together, it's history, right? But his story, that is the plot or the storyline of the Bible. When you grasp the Bible's overview, you realize that that is the key to its details. Many Christians wrestle with the particular doctrines in the Bible, the particulars of their theology. And doesn't the Bible say this, but doesn't it say that? And doesn't it contradict itself? And I believe this, but my friend quotes these verses, and I just don't know how to respond. And boy, it seems so confusing. And one major reason for that is because, somewhat systematically, we in the body of Christ, we are not urged to get an overview of the whole Bible. So if you ask someone, where do the major prophets fit into the story of the Bible? They have a hard time answering that question. Are there any plot twists in the Old Testament? What is a plot twist? We should know, right? And are there any plot twists in the story of the Old Testament? How about in the whole Bible? How about in the New Testament? Are there any plot twists? You read a good novel, right? Or see a good movie, quite often there's a plot twist. Makes it really fascinating. Well, you read the Bible to get the story of the Bible, and it's really fascinating, the story, and it turns out the story has plot twist in the storyline. And if you ask a Christian who's been even teaching Sunday school, say for 10 years, and you say, what are the major plot twists in the Bible? He'd probably look at you cross-eyed. Like, what are you talking about? Say, no, really, what are the plot twists in the Bible? He might have no idea what you're talking about. So the second hermeneutic is his story, the story of the Bible. And believe it or not, if you become a Christian or you grow up in church and your primary goal is to learn how to defend the doctrines that you were taught when you first became a believer, whatever they're on, it doesn't matter. If they're on baptism or speaking in tongues or the end times or eternal security or just fill in the blank, any doctrine, you could end up knowing, memorizing 15 verses that support your doctrine. But consider for a moment that that is a detail with respect to the whole Bible, with respect to the whole of the Old and New Testament. Your particular doctrine is a detail. Like when you start reading in Genesis chapter 1, you might not come across your doctrine. Genesis 2, chapter 3, 4, 5, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you might get to your doctrine eventually, right? And then there are some verses on your doctrine, whichever one, you probably have 10 of them, just like I do, 10, 20, 30. And then there are a bunch of books that then don't deal with that doctrine. So that doctrine tends to be a detail in the overview of the whole Bible. And if you are an expert in some of the details, but you're really pretty clueless about the overview of the Bible, your expertise is in question. You can't really be an expert about a detail if you don't understand the context in which it exists. So that's why the first hermeneutic is the existence of God, his existence, eternity, and entity, the three E's. The second is his story, the plot, the storyline of the Bible. The third is his nature, God's nature. Now, really, God's nature should take precedent over the story, because God's nature goes back through eternity past. You know, the whole bit about Jonah. Jonah is not eternal, right? So what happened with Jonah, that was temporal in human history, And that's part of the story of the Bible. It's one of the little chapters of the story of the Bible. And so why would we have God's story coming before God's nature? Well, that's a very interesting question. And it turns out that without the Bible in the story of the Bible, you could know God's existence. You don't need the Bible to know that God exists. Indeed, many of the great men of Scripture, a number of them, didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a Bible, but they knew God existed. And so outside of the Bible, you could still know that God exists. But there's only so much you could know about God without the Bible. Once you have the Bible, then you learn a lot more about the nature of God. Without the Bible, we know that God exists. We could grasp, although it's like looking through a glass darkly, we could grasp some particulars about the Creator God. But with the story of the Bible, where we see that God made us, that He has revealed to us right from wrong, He has commanded us not to disobey Him. We've disobeyed Him and terrible consequences resulted, and then God worked to save us, even though we made ourselves enemies of His. And so then, through the story of the Bible, we see so much about the nature of God, His nature. And there are five of God's attributes, which are the true biblical attributes, the five biggies. And they're not the omnis and the ims. Those are Greek and Latin philosophical concepts. And it's okay to study them and figure out to what extent they're, you know, helpful or not. But the biblical attributes, that is, what does the Bible say are the attributes of God most often? And what are they in priority? And it turns out there's five. That our eternal God, He is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. Those are God's five chief biblical attributes. Now, why does living come before personal? You know, God is alive. The Bible says God is alive 30 times. Way more than any of the omnis and ims, even if you added them all up. What if you add up the omnis and ims? What do you get? Three? 30 times the Bible says God is living. 30 times. He's the living God. But you know, some things that are alive are not personal. There are plants that are not personal, but they're alive, right? Fish are alive, but they're not personal. People are alive, but they're also personal. So God is a person, actually three persons in one God. So God's nature, that He is living, personal, and He is relational. There's three persons in the Trinity, and they are revealed to us in the relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So God is not only living, like maybe He's like some kind of living force, like in Star Trek. No, that's Star Wars. No, He's also personal, but He's not like a Unitarian God like Allah, right? And we explain why Allah cannot be the true God, but He is relational in the relationships of the Trinity, which go back through eternity past. So it's possible to be living and personal and relational, but not good. So that's the next of God's attributes. He is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. Because, you know, a good judge could take a guilty person and punish them, throw the book at them, and He's a good judge. But God is also loving. So while God could justly send everyone to eternal judgment, He has sacrificed His own Son so that we could be saved. We could be reconciled to Him. So once we look at God's existence, the three E's, and then his story, the Bible, then the overview, then we get a better understanding of God's nature. And at that point, if you want to, it's okay to elevate God's nature above his story at that point. Because in reality, God's nature precedes and supersedes anything done with any human being anywhere in the Bible. So the story of the Bible has its actors, you know, starting with Adam, going through Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, John the Baptist, right? And then Jesus, who's the eternal God, the Son, and then Peter, and then Paul. And so when you take that and you see, well, these human actors, they play a key role in the story of the Bible, including the plot twist. But what takes precedence? The actions involving these created beings or the eternal nature of God? Well, clearly the eternal nature of God. So once we get an overview of the Bible and we see God's nature, then we realize that really God's nature takes precedent over even our understanding of the story of the Bible. So when it comes to passages in Scripture that we don't quite understand, we interpret them in the light of God's nature, in the context of God being personal, relational, good, and loving. And then we get a better understanding, because quite often God's nature points clearly to the correct interpretation of a passage that might be debated by theologians. What does it really mean? And then from there, we go on through the rest of the hermeneutics. And there's also, if you get this audio MP3 CD, there's also, as with the Christianity 101, there are slides. You can look at the slides. There's some material included with the audio. And you could consider the slides and listen to the study. We have had people, I'll mention one of them, happens to be my brother, Brian. He owns Uncle Brian's Home Remodeling in the Denver area. He's a pro. He's a master craftsman. And he has said, he's told me, he said, Bob, the best resource you guys have ever produced is the hermeneutics seminar. That is by far the best. And I just love it. It's so extraordinary. And to the extent that the concepts are biblical, to that extent, it helps you with every other Bible study you will ever undertake when you get the hermeneutics down. And not only will they help you study the Bible, they'll help you understand a college textbook or a newspaper. Do they still print newspapers? Or an article on the internet. It will help you understand the world you live in. And I mentioned the Christianity 101. That is a second tremendous resource. So if you want to help with our telethon, we're at almost $10,000. You can call us 800-836-9278. Get Hermeneutics and Christianity 101. 800-836-9278 or kgov.com.